This morning, I just want to talk about a few things, really carrying on from last week, on the fact that I put basically Christianity 101 is that we seek God first, that we love one another, and that we go tell. And I just want to carry on that. Not really about that, sorry, I'm just, God's reminded me of a verse, I need to mark it down so I can get to it later on. Here we are, marking that up. This is very professional, isn't it? John. Well, I've got to admit though, the problem is, I've got this sermon going around in my head of things that God's been talking about. So this morning I got up and I tried to put some, well I did, I put some verses down, listed them all out, and I got things ready, and then I needed to print some other stuff off, and then get the songs ready, and I got all that stuff, I pressed, you know, turn it off, I set off and thought, where's my notes? And I realised I didn't download them, and I'd not saved them. So, this is all from my heart, so I've got... So that's fine. But if you're in Isaiah 54... Isaiah 54. Now, Isaiah 54 comes after Isaiah 53, and Isaiah 53 is the Old Testament summing of what Jesus did on the cross for us. So Jesus died on the cross. It's all listed out there in Isaiah 53. He's buried and he's resurrected. And Isaiah 54 then cuts into, in a sense, living the resurrected life. But it dawned on me recently that everything that God gives us and everything God does for us, he always gives us it in seed form. Everything God does is in seed form. He gives you a vision or a word or something burning out. It's in seed form. Now, we assume God's going to download everything as if we're in the Matrix and it all gets downloaded into our head in one go. But there's people here that are called to do great things for God. The problem is what you've been called to do and where you are doesn't kind of match up. And that's not because of the problem. It's because what God said into your heart is in seed form. And it needs good soil to be planted. If God came to anybody and said, you're going to become like Billy Graham was. You're going to preach in stadiums. That's not going to happen overnight. First of all, it's a seed that's planted in your heart. You've got to go after God. You've got to search God. You've got to get into, in a sense, battling against things that will stop you, but also growing something. Now, if anybody knows anything about growing, which we don't tend to do much in this country anymore, personally, we go to the supermarket, pineapple comes in a tin. We don't really know. It's a plant that we've got to chop and stuff like that. But we often, if you're into planting, you've got to plant it. And then it's got to grow and be nurtured. We're quite fortunate. Nigel gave us some strawberries last year. We planted them. We got a few strawberries off them. Then we left them to see what had happened, and it's gone totally wild around them. But we've got some awesome, amazing strawberries in amongst all these weeds and stuff like that. And then behind them, we've got raspberries that they were there when we moved in, and we've chopped them, and we've stamped on them, and we've thrown a shed on them, and all sorts. And they keep growing, and we've got some amazing strawberries raspberries as well this year. We also planted a pear tree, this year, and it produced one pear, which you'd think that's a good thing, but actually that's not a good thing, because a plant, when it thinks it's dying, produces fruit, because it needs to produce the offspring for the next generation, because it thinks it's dying. So it's produced one pear, which is small, and then it stopped because I fertilized it, got it sorted, and now it's green shoots. We can learn a lot from nature, because when the Bible says, go to the ant, you sluggard. In other words, observe things. We can observe things from nature that God can use as principles in our lives. God plants everything in our hearts in seed form. Then it's up to us to nurture and to grow that seed. The Holy Spirit will water it, but we need the Word of God in there. We need to equip ourselves. You see, if God's called somebody to be a missionary, the first thing they ought to be doing is getting before God and praying and asking which country. When we find out which country, the next thing to do is to go and learn the language. Not beam me up, Scotty, and put me over there. There seems to be this thing, especially in Pentecostal circles, that if God says it, then it's going to happen regardless of whatever I do. Now, there's only a few things in the Bible that's going to happen regardless whether we believe it or not. The rapture's one of them. The rapture's going to happen whether people believe it or not. Even Christians argue over it, but it's going to happen. And then when it happens, we'll find out if we were pre, mid, or post-trib. And if you don't know what that means, don't worry about it. We'll do a Bible study after September about it. But the truth is, it doesn't matter. It's going to happen. Jesus reigns on the throne whether people believe it or not. Jesus is in control whether people understand it or not. But if God promises you something, if he says this is for you, we've got to take it as God's saying, right, I'm going to give you that. Ding, there you are. Have that. Now grow it. I've heard recently that a lady's suing the NHS because she, I don't know if it's true or not, but it's an analogy, so don't take it as fact just in case it's not. But she's suing the NHS because when she had the baby and brought it home, they didn't show her how to feed a baby. I think feeding a baby is a natural thing. Not for me, I'm not equipped. But ladies, if it's the mother, they are. Kids out here were all right. But you can't, some things are natural. Some things are automatic. But when God downloads something into your life, gives you something, gives you a seed, it's up to you and it's up to me to do something with that seed or it will stay a seed. You see, the Bible does say that God gives, this is King James language, gives without repentance. He doesn't take it back. But it doesn't mean it's going to grow. You see, when God called me into ministry, called me to preach, one thing I did, I started studying the Word of God. I started going away to seminars. I started spending time with people of a similar thing. And I learned from them. And I still do. I was away a couple of weekends ago learning more because I've not got it all together. But those guys who are teaching me are saying they've not got it all together neither. So if we think we've got it all together, we've got a problem. We've not got it all together. We need to grow. And I like the analogy of the oak tree. I love oak trees. I think they're amazing because they, you know, there can be a storm going on and all trees are getting battered and falling down and there's oak trees left. Except for in 1987 when seven oaks went down to three oaks down in London because four of them, I think, fell over when we had that big storm that wasn't coming. And it did, smashing London to bits. But oak trees are amazing. They're usually the last to sprout greenery in spring. They're not shoving forward. They grow very slowly. Other trees overtake them going up. And the oak trees just gently grow. But in 20, 30, 40, 50 years, that oak tree is still growing while the other trees have gone. And I believe God's calling us as a church to be strong as oak trees. But it starts by and another analogy, that you can't plant a church, can't plant a tree in a plant pot and leave it there for long. Otherwise, it becomes, what do you call them, little trees? Bonsais. We were never called to be bonsais. We're called to be mighty men and women of God who produce little bit of fruit. No, who produce some fruit. No, who produce much fruit. And trees are the fruit bearers that produce much fruit. So, if you're in Isaiah 54, and it's verse 2 that I'm going to jump into. Onto the right page. It says this, enlarge the place of your tent, stretch out your curtains wide, do not hold back, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will depose nations and settle in their desolate cities. I really believe that as a church, God is calling us to stretch out. And I don't think it's out of season because of what was said last week and what God's saying to me. We're almost developing some sort of vision going on here. But I believe God's calling us to enlarge the place of our tent. Now, the tent is often referred to as the place that we live in, but as a human being, the body is a tent. Now, I know some of you are already trying to enlarge your tent through McDonald's, etc., but that's not quite what it's meaning. It's meaning enlarging your capacity on the inside. You see, we are creatures who learn, and we should be constantly learning. We should be always learning. That's the one thing I loved about Jim, 99, and he's studying Hebrew and Greek. Like, what is he going to do with Hebrew and Greek? But he studied it. Some of us turn 18, leave school and forget it. Now, I've not talked to anybody here because I think most of us have gone on to be training. But at the end of the day, you're never too old to learn. Now, you can't teach your grandma to suck eggs. I've never got that one. Never quite know what I mean. But we're never too old to learn. And we as people, as believers, should be continuously learning. We should be expanding our capacity. And in here, Isaiah is saying, enlarge the place of your tent. See, I cannot enlarge you. I can only enlarge me. So I can keep pouring good food. I can keep giving you it. I can keep digging into the Bible and pouring it onto you. But it's up to you whether you take it or not. It's up to you whether you enlarge it or not. It's up to you whether you plant it deep in your heart and let it grow there. I can't make it. I can't make you do that. I can just give you it to do. Stretch out your tent curtains wide. In an analogy, the verse before, it says this. Sing, O barren woman, you have never born child. Burst into song. Shout for joy, you have never been in labor. Because more of the children of a desolate woman than her who has an husband, says the Lord. He could say it's talking about an house extension. In those days, tents, they would make more room. You know, you don't have a baby and go, right, we've got the baby now, let's do something. You try to prepare for the baby. At least get some nappies in and get sorted out and do it. Mums usually have it running right there. And husbands are like, yeah, whatever. I'll turn up when babies comes, I'll sort that out. Before Ethan were born, I were knocking down walls, making a room for him in the old house we used to live in, getting it ready. But us as believers, we should be stretching out our tent curtains, making our capacity bigger. This is something we all can... You see, as a church, I believe God wants us as a body of people to stretch out, not just the individuals, but as a church. And yet often I sometimes hear from people, it's better with 25 people in the church. It'd be nice if we're only 30. It'd be nice if it's small. Now, I'm not being funny, but that's called selfishness. Because we are not even scratching 1% of this town that we live in. And some of us don't even live in this town. We're coming in from outside. We're not even touching the surface of what's going on. You know, if this church were 1,000 strong, we'd be still less than 7% of the town plus surrounding areas. Well, I don't want to be part of a church that's that big. We are part of a church that's that big. We're part of a church that's in the billions. And when we get to heaven, there'll be no, I'm just going to go to my little group of 30. It doesn't exist. If you want to be in a small group, get in a small group. It's called an house group. That's where we do life together. And then this is where we come together in corporate worship to praise God together. And I'm not joking, the more people that worship God together, the better it sounds. It drowns out everything else. It gets better. But I believe God's saying to us as a present day, and I know God said this to this church before. I've been praying about this, and God says he's told this church before to enlarge its place before I even came. He's told this church before to stretch out its curtain and don't hold back. He's told this church before to strengthen it, lengthen its cords and strengthen its stakes. The problem is that when they've stretched out their cords and the curtains, people's been kicking out the stake because they lack 30 instead of saying, God, let us have an impact on this town. I don't think I know where you were before I were here. But I'm just talking generally. It might be a spirit over this place. I don't know. That's why I believe God's calling us now to rise up, to seek him first, to love one another and go tell people. It's an all-action thing. We're getting more into worship, more into prayer, more into coming together into the Word of God. There's several things that we need to keep at the forefront of everything. The Word of God is the first one. Prayer is another one that we need to keep there at the front of all things. We need to get together in fellowship, meaning coming together in church. We need to break bread together and we need to reach out. Doesn't that sound like what they did in Acts? It's amazing what God has got for us. He says this, that we should enlarge our tents. We shouldn't hold back. Guys, what vision do you have for your personal life? What vision do you have? I'm not talking about a grand, well, God says this and God. No, what do you have for your life? You know, my vision for my marriage is that we have a great marriage and bring our kids up and make go awesome for God. That's the vision that I have for my family, for my marriage. And then when kids go out, then I don't know what's going to happen. I'll need a new one by then. Can't get a dog, we've already got one. But what have you got for your own life? What have you got, you know, for what vision has God given you for your ministry, for your service? We're all called to be service, in service of God. We've all got our part to play. You see, there are some crazy people called evangelists that will just go talk to anybody. And they're great. But when they bring people in, they need people who's going to love them, not criticize them. They need people who's going to come in and they're going to teach them. That's service. And some people might go, well, all I can do is do this little thing. Well, do the little thing and do it great, because it's seed form. And the more you do it, the more it grows. You don't become an accomplished musician overnight. Generally, just in case there's odd one ever has done. But it takes time. But we as people, as believers, we need to enlarge the place of our tent, stretch out the tent curtains wide. You see, the word in here doesn't mean a little bit. It means go big. When they were buying the building that Huddersfield's in now, Huddersfield Healing Church, I was part of that group. And we had a bit of an head-banging session one night because they said, we're a church of 200/300 when everybody actually turned up, and we're going to move into a building that holds 600, at the max 800. So I went, that means you can only bring one friend. That's my thinking. Everybody could only bring one friend. And they looked at me, gone out. I said, if everybody brings a friend, you're already full, you'll need a new building. So anyway, they got the building. It's a nice building, a nice sign for it. And, you know, we did what we did there, and that was great. But we've got to enlarge. But we only ever enlarge. Guys, if your vision that God's given you for your life and for ministry is what you can do and you can handle, it's probably not from God. Because what God gives you will be beyond, because you need to walk in faith. That's why sometimes I wonder, God, did you really call me to be a pastor? Because I need a lot of faith to walk as a pastor. And my heart's evangelism. There's a prophetic side to me. I love teaching and I want to plant churches. It's kind of all mushed up in there. I don't quite know what God's got for me. But I just said, I'll go wherever. I'll do whatever. But it starts in seed form. I mean, people say you should only do what God's called you to do. I only do what God's called me to do. Well, how many pastors do you know are called to build cupboards? But Mary's saying amen because I built her a cupboard. You know what I mean? I'm not called to do that. I just can. How many of us are called to do one thing but we find ourselves doing something else? Because God's leading us little by little, step by step. Okay. If you want to really grow, if you want to get that seed out of that plant pot into something bigger, take the tree out of the plant pot and sink it into the ground, let it grow. Sometimes we've got to do something different from what the world does. What the world does is not what God does. What God does is not what the world does. You see, even here in the verse before, it says, single barren woman. A woman doesn't want to sing when she's barren. Do the opposite of what the world do. Do what is right by God, not what's right by the world. So the world would say in these times we need to consolidate and clamp down and keep to. There's even things in the church where they say, let's just hold on till God returns. It doesn't tell us that. It says, go tell until I come back. Remember me, Jesus said, when we do communion. Do this in remembrance until I return. Not sulk away into, oh, we're having a prayer meeting now. Now, I think we need to do prayer meetings, but we also need to be telling. They run side by side. But the world will say, don't stretch out. Don't hold back. No, do hold back. Be reserved. I give you permission to be wild in Jesus. I'll give you permission to go for some stuff. I'll pick up the mess. We'll sort it out. But if you do that, I might have to say, let's steer this a little bit, let's get it. But don't hold back. Lengthen your cords. You know, tents are getting bigger. If you've ever been camping, tents are getting bigger. They get bigger and then the cords come out. And if you ever go camping in the middle of the night, I know you ladies don't do this, but us men, we kind of get out of our tent, look for a fence when we need to go to the loo, and aim that way. We just go to a fence. But in the middle of the night, you can't see things. So you can see a tent, but you don't realize there's another 3 meters around it in cords. So you're walking through in darkness and you're tripping over, knocking people's tents down because they extended their cords now. But as a church, we need to. Because when you extend the cords, it gets greater capacity on the inside. But it means we've got to extend the cords, which means we cover more area. And then we need to put down strong stakes, strengthen the stakes. You don't put little tin pieces of wire in the ground anymore for big tents. There's huge big hooks going in. You need them so if somebody does trip over and they go flying up the tent. And you hammer them in now and you've got little hooks to pull them back out. We need to strengthen. What do we strengthen our stakes into? It's into Jesus. It's into his word. Sometimes we get so blown around, as it said in James, because we're not having our foundations on the earth, on the word. We need to put our stakes into the things of God, standing on the things of God, standing in the presence of God. In Psalm, I think it's 78, sorry. I better find it and then say, turn to. Okay, yeah. In Psalm 78 and verse 41, it says, again and again, they put God to the test and vexed the Holy One of Israel, it says in the NIV. In the New King James and in the King James and some of the translations, it says, again and again, they put God to the test and they limited the Holy One of Israel. How do we limit God? By our unbelief. By our lack of vision. The Bible says that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And I've took that as, in some cases it says, my people are destroyed through lack of vision. But then it dawned on me that God's saying, my people, that we often like that bit when he says, when my people are called by my name. We like that one. But my people, says God, are destroyed through lack of knowledge. It doesn't mean they're destroyed as in throwing 12, but their lives are destroyed because the enemy can come in and steal, kill, and destroy off them because of a lack of knowledge. What knowledge is he talking about? The word of God. And the word of God, if we don't know the word of God, we limit what God can do in our lives. So you can't expand and press out without knowledge. And that knowledge is the word of God. We need to stretch out in the word of God. We need to put the word of God to the test in our own lives. We need to stand on the word of God. And I'm thinking, this isn't just for us. This isn't for our generation. This is for the people that's going to come in. This is for the next generation of people that's going to come in. Are we prepared to strengthen ourselves, to grow strong, not just for our sake, and even not maybe for our sake, but for their sake, for the other people? See, it's easy. When we see people, I listened to somebody recently, it did make me smile. This lady, she got divorced some time ago, and she's been dating different people, and she got this guy, and she thought it would seem serious, and we're chatting away, and she was just saying how, she said, I think I'm selfish, because he keeps going about his kids, and I don't want his kids, I want him, me and him, that's it. And we said, well, actually, it sounds like you are selfish. And even as Christians, sometimes we can become selfish because we're not thinking of the next people. We're only thinking of us, my needs, my problems. God, don't you understand? Guys, if you've not got problems today, chances are you will have soon. And I'm not speaking negative. That's life. Life's life. If you haven't got an ache somewhere, you're probably dead, especially when you get over 40. There's going to be something quite not right somewhere. That's why we say, if you've got any aches, stand up, we'll pray for you. And some people don't. You just think, liar. You know what I mean? Because we've all got them. I mean, if you want to give an appeal in a big church service, you just say, has anybody got back problems? I mean, nearly everybody. Oh, yeah, you know what I mean? But we need to stop limiting God. We need to expand and to grow and see what God's got for us and see how awesome it is, not just for us, but for that next generation. For your the next one comes after you, and I'm not talking about age, the kids. You know, you always hear a politician or somebody, oh, think about the kids. Think about the kids. And actually, the time the nation in knots thinking about the kids. But I'm saying, think about the next generation of believers that's going to be sitting on these chairs, that are going to sit where you're sitting, And it's going to mean they get here before you, and you might have to stand or even go into the other room and watch it on the big screen in our overflow room. Amen. I'll have that one. You know what I mean? Come on, Phil, back me up on this one. Come on. The overflow room, the next generation that's coming in. And it's trickling in. But it starts in seed form. You see, if you're having problems, if I'm having problems just looking after a little group of people, if I can't, you know, if I can't keep myself in check, then how am I going to help somebody else? Being a parent means you've got to throw selfishness well out that window. They just go for it, the kids, they love it. You know, they're like, me, 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 and you've got to, as a grow up, then you've got to change things. But for us, we're going to have people coming in who's going to scream, and it can't be, Pastor, can you help me? I'm going, can you help them? You know, you're 6 months ahead of them, 6 years ahead of them, 20 years ahead of them. Get on with it, help them. That's why I think small groups are amazing. Because you do life. You help people. You encourage people. You annoy people. You argue with people. But that's family. It's easy to be spiritual on your own, isn't it? I'm spiritual when I'm in my office with my Bible and my prayer. I'm really spiritual. Doorbell rings, I've got to go out because I'm in prayer. I'm being facetious. Right, let me find Joel. Joel 2:25, I think it is. In the NIV, it says this. Ruth, do you want to find, have you got New King James? Joel 2, verse 25. What version have you got? Do you want to read yours out, Nigel?
So I will restore to you the years of the locust. So I will restore to you the years of the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust.
Yeah.
My great army, which I sent.
Yeah. I will repay for you the years locusts have eaten. What do we do when that tree, that seed has grown a little bit, but it's been battered? It's been damaged. Well, God says that he will, it says repay this one, rebuild in other ones, the years that the locusts have eaten. You see, in this world, we can't turn back time. You can't turn back time. I often say, if it's in the past, get over it, because there's nothing you can do about it. Leave it. Let it go. But God can redeem the time back to us. He can grow us faster in 6 months than, you know, if we've wasted 6 years, he can grow us in 6 months just as much. But in him. He says in John 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. It's his sap. It's him we're connected to. And don't, I'm saying this because I think people might go, well, I've wasted so much time. You've not wasted time. To the world, you might have. To me, you might have. To the church, you might be going, come on. But when you reconnect with God, when you get back in the things of God, he can speed you up for 6 months where it took maybe 6 years for some other people, because he can redeem the time. We can muck around, but God said, I have a plan and purpose for you. And he wants us to get there more than we want to get there. And he will redeem the time that we've wasted. He'll give us back. He'll give us back those years that have been stolen away from us, that the devil might have stolen, killed and destroyed. But he can take them back on board. And he can. But it starts with being planted in him, not in a plant pot. When you plant a tree in the ground, it can flourish. It doesn't seem to grow up much sometimes, especially oak trees. But it's putting the roots down. It's spreading the roots. It's growing. And God will always give us back what has been stolen from us if we just put it into him. Let me just try and get this one. This is Ephesians 5. Verse 15, Ephesians 5, verse 15, it says this. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but wise. Not as the world's way, but as God's way of doing it. Making the most of every opportunity for days of evil. Making the most of every opportunity. Now, that's a great verse for evangelists. go out and tell people, make the use of every opportunity. Brad said, yes, do that, but also make the use of every opportunity. When you're at home, when you're reading, when you're listening to something, make the use. It's not just evangelism, growing your seed that's been put in your heart. Growing that seed, letting it develop. What are you watering into your lives? What are you putting into our lives, into the people around you? What are you doing with what God's given you? Growing it, developing it. You see, God gives us a gift and we want to use it straight away, but it takes time to develop it. Aren't you glad that the brain surgeons or heart surgeons take some training before they start practicing? I think it's only in the church where we kind of think, oh, I'm all right, God's all right. No, God gives us a gift. Then we develop that gift, and then we can use that gift. And maybe it is a church who's got a bit of a thing, because somebody says, I believe God's called me to be a preacher. And we go, go and preach then. When instead we should be saying, go and study then. Oh, we don't like that. I'll go to another church if you tell me to study. Take time out before God. See, God's got great plans for us all, but he don't want us to be contained. He don't want us to be contained. Growing up, I thought everybody, at an early age for me, everybody lived in a house where the toilet was down the road. Because that's where I lived. I thought that was normal. I didn't realise that there was something beyond that. We used to come out of our house, turn right down three doors in. Winter were amazing. You had to take a stick and break the water. Sometimes it was that front. You all remember this. Yeah, no, I'm not that old. But the fact is, that's where I grew up. And then we moved into an house with a toilet on the inside. I mean, ugh. They go to the toilet on the inside. I didn't know any different. I'm of that generation where bath night was Sunday night. They brought a bath down, put it in front of the fire, and we all got in. That's all I knew. But I was being contained and shaped. I was like an eagle in a cage. And some of us are like that. And then suddenly we find out there's something else out there. The day you discover red sauce, that was amazing for me. Red sauce. Never heard of this stuff. Oh, we ever had that brown stuff called gravy. Put on everything. We never knew. But then you grow a little bit. See, when I lived at a council estate then, and then there were other posh people. And posh people had nice gardens and nice cars and nice uniforms and were nice. Might be why I don't like niceness for. Where we were, we had wildernesses. You played in the nettles for fun. But I didn't realize there's something else. But God has more for us. But we contain it by our own preconceived ideas. I got invited to a do once and you had to wear a tuxedo. I did look smart, I must admit. But I were uncomfortable because I didn't want to wear a tux. I didn't want to go to, ooh, posh people, go there with the little glasses of whatever we were going to be drinking as. Little plate with little things on it. Give it as a steak. I'm trying to think of the word, but it jumped out of my head. You know, these little things, petit four. What's that? It's a French word for small. And it goes, but I didn't want to be there. But when I went there, and I'd argued with Joe before I got there, but I went and smiled, and I realized that everybody were normal. Everybody else were people struggling with life. In fact, they were telling me their problems, and I didn't want to know their problems. I wanted a pastor in those days, but I didn't want to know their problems because I didn't want to be there. But by the end of the night, I'm witnessing to people, telling people about the goodness of God and all this stuff, and they were normal people because I realized we all have preconceived ideas. Some of you don't think God can use you because you're an idiot. Let me think, if God can use me, he can use you. You know what I mean? You're thinking, I'm not gifted, so God can't use me. Well, I'm not gifted neither. So let's get over that and move together. But for the sake of the next generation, you see, we're not doing all the work in here for us. We're doing what we call cathedral building. We're thinking the next generation. We're thinking the next group of people that's coming in. We're thinking further down the line than just this week and next month. But I just want to bring this last verse. And this is a verse that I just got right at the beginning. And it's 1 John 1. And it says this, verse 6. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. If we claim, it says, to have fellowship with God, we're talking with Jesus, if we claim that we are believers, if we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie, and we do not live in the truth. That's a slap in your face, isn't it? Don't mean you're not saved, it just means you're out of fellowship with God. It's the next verse then that really hit me this week. But if, that's a conjunction, isn't it, and a choice. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, who are we talking about there? As he, Jesus, is in the light, we will have fellowship with. Now you need to turn to this because I've always thought, people said if we walk in the light as he is in the light, and if we walk in the light as he is, then we'll have fellowship with Jesus. But it doesn't say that. You need to check this out for yourself because you're thinking, yeah, it does. 1 John 1, verse 7, but if we walk in the light, if we're having fellowship with Jesus, as he, that's Jesus, is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Oh, it's a bit different, isn't it? As we walk in the light, as Jesus is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. As we seek him first with everything that we have, then we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all our sins. We have fellowship with one another. I've often been taught that we walk in the light so we have fellowship with Jesus. But Jesus is his body. We are the body of Christ. He is the head, we're the body, and he's looking after the lot. So if we walk in the light like he's in the light, then we're part of the body of Christ, and we have fellowship together, that's loving one another, then we can start to reach out and invite people in. When I was younger, we used to bring people home, and our house was pretty dysfunctional. Probably quite normal. We thought it was normal anyway. But we invited people in anyway. We didn't make excuses. We said, there were no matching cups. You got a pot, and it didn't match anything else. You got a plate, and that didn't match. The only things that matched were knives and forks, because my mum used to long-term borrow from somewhere else, matching set. Every time I went out, we'll take a couple of them. It's that long ago, she can't be prosecuted. No. But that's what happened. But we were dysfunctional. Guys, as a church, you might consider, we are different, aren't we? As a group of people, we are different. And slightly dysfunctional. Or maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just me. But that's not going to be an excuse to stop me trying to invite people. To bring people. Because it's not about me, really. It's about him. And it's just the fact that he uses me and uses you to come to him. And I want people to walk in the light as Jesus walks in the light. And that they may have fellowship with us together. And the blood of Jesus can purify them of all their sins, washing them all away as they get saved. So guys, I'm trying to say this morning, don't limit God in your life. Don't allow the devil to whisper lies into your life. Don't even believe your own lies. Get into the Word of God and see what God says about you and what great things God has got for you. And then start to expand your mind on the inside of what God could possibly do through me. We had somebody come up to over at our house who was a younger Christian. And Joe were there and with a sister. And this lady came over. I'm not going to mention her name because she's here. She came over and she was telling about the good things that God's been doing in her life. Karen's not even a Christian. Joe's chatting away to her. Eventually, the lady goes and Joe's sister gobsmacked. And it led to some really good conversations. And that person might think, well, I find it hard to witness or not, but the truth is, she did a fantastic job when me and Joe tried to witness to her sister. All they see is pastor and pastor's wife. When they saw this lady, they saw somebody who was real, normal. Amazing. We shouldn't limit God in our lives. Taking every opportunity and walking in the light as he is in the light, so that we have, may have fellowship with one another. Amen. So get out your plant pots and get grounded in ground. Solid. Grow. Amen.